I want to share with you this morning the scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And I appreciate Marshall will have the words on screen as I read. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready with him went into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who is indeed with us. Amen. So I can begin this message by maybe parroting a little bit of the Jennifer Garner commercials, "What's in Your Wallet?" to say, what's in your oil lamp, or what's in your oil lamp flask? This bucket or pail that I'm holding is roughly the size, did some research on this over the last week, is roughly the size of the flask that the bridesmaids, the wise bridesmaids, would have had their oil in. Now, there's some discrepancy, because it's been 2,000 years, exactly what the bridesmaids were holding. If they were holding lamps in the sense of an oil lamp, or if what they really were holding may have been torches, and they would dip the torch into the oil, light the torch. The torch would light for about 15 minutes. The oil would burn away. Then once they were ready, they would dip that torch once more into their oil, and it would light for another 15 minutes. It's a lot of light. As I read some of the commentaries on this passage, these are not small little flashlights. These are torches or lamps that were supposed to offer a lot of light to the people around them. And the reason is this: when the bridesmaids are there and they're outside the wedding banquet, their role is to have the light so that the party can continue. First century Palestinian weddings were multi-day affairs. Family came in from all over. And the wedding happened, there was the reception, there was the banquet, and the party just kept going until sunrise. Because there were so few times where family would get together in this kind of a way and have this kind of a celebration. And so the key was to make it into as big of a party as you can. And you didn't want anything to curtail or lessen that party. And so the bridesmaids had their lamps. And so in the darkest of night, the light would flood the banquet hall and the party could continue. The light of these torches were not just for the bridesmaids so that they could see what was happening, but the light was really there for everybody else who's going to be at the party. This parable is a parable about the parousia, the return of Jesus. It is a parable about being ready and being prepared. You certainly hear that in the parable. And there's that weird thing in verse 13 where Jesus says, "Keep awake," but in the parable they had all fallen asleep, the bridesmaids. So we've got some intermixing of some of the story here. But this story, as much as it's about parousia, it's about being ready in terms of our faith for the return of Jesus, speaks as much to us now on November 8th, 2020, in the midst of a year of COVID, having completed the 2020 election for the most part, I guess until the legal challenges have run its course. I don't know about you, but on Wednesday, we received no campaign ads in the mail. Yeah, amen. But I don't know about you, But on Thursday, we got one. And I couldn't decide if it was the initial shot for 2022 or a leftover one from 2020. But it was like, I'm looking at this going, oh no, there's another ad in my mail. This has been, and I'm just going to speak the obvious right now, this has been an exhausting year, hasn't it? From the onset and the onslaught of COVID and all of the changes that we've had to make around adjusting our lives, we're wearing masks, the disruptions that happened to families, to school, to work, to the economy, to the community. And then you add into that an election year too, a presidential election year, which brings its own level of stress and anxiety. It's just what happens. And to have all of that occurring in our lives, and then this fall, as the numbers seem to go down, we've hit like warp speed, and the numbers are spiking in ways that were not happening even back in March. I felt about it, not last Monday, it was the Monday before that, when we first got the weekend numbers from the state of Michigan, the COVID numbers, and we're following them at church quite a bit. I was deflated. I was deflated when I saw those numbers, and I thought about, are we going back to some of the things we had to do back in the spring? And we know that our school districts that had in-person classes are beginning to step away from in-person school. U of M is changing its what it had hoped to do for winter semester with students being on campus. Other schools are making that adjustment. We see all of these changes, and it's been, I remember one person talking about this journey being like a marathon, except it's not a marathon because you don't know what the finish line is. It just keeps kind of going. One person likened it to a triathlon, when you get to the swimming portion and you don't know how to swim. And it kind of feels that way, right? And maybe others, maybe it's not, but for a number of people that I've talked to, and I think about my own self, this has been a pretty exhausting time. And it begs the question, what is in our oil lamp? Do we have enough oil? Have we had enough faith in our lives to carry us through this time? And I think there's been a mix of that reaction. We've had some people, members of our church, who their flask, their oil lamp, has been full the entire time. They have a deep, rich faith, and no matter the challenge, no matter the difficulties, that flask is still full of oil. And then there are others in their journey of faith that have always kept just enough in the bucket so that they can say they've got oil in their bucket. They've got oil in their lamp. And this has been the kind of year where they realized, you know, it's gone. And what I thought was enough, because if things got really bad, then I would quickly turn to God. But at least for getting by, this has always been enough faith to kind of get me through the time. This year has been one of those years where we've realized, no, that maybe wasn't enough. That we start feeling that emptiness or that concern, and then we start finding what are the things that we kind of pin our hopes to if it's not faith. Some of it's politics. We have people that will pin their hopes to politics. And so if their candidate wins, life's good. If their candidate loses, life's not good. And this sunny day will look as cloudy as ever to that person. And realizing that, okay, politics isn't enough. Because what's been one of the comments that all the newscasters have said throughout this week? It always changes. The demographics of every county, population changes. States that were one way, one were red or blue are now blue or red or vice versa. And we see this constant change at work. And so politics might not be the oil in our lamp that can keep us burning brightly. You know, what are those things? Sometimes we rely on the economy. We rely on the stock market. Stock market's doing well, my day's good. If the stock market's not doing well, my day's going to be bad. Things that change, things that don't give us the kind of grounding of faith. And yet in this story, Jesus is talking about the power of having enough oil in the lamp to keep the party going, to bring others into the party, to light the room so that people can celebrate, and how we can draw that from our own lives. And for me, as I think about this season of COVID and post-election, and we're still in the pandemic, what can we do as people of faith to keep our flasks, to keep these pails of oil full? And one of the great blessings that we did pre-COVID, just over a year ago, was we had Jim Harnish come, and we had our Disciples Path event. For me, that has been such a significant part of our 2019 journey that I think in many ways, and unknowing, this was God at work, began to orient us into 2020, even when we had no idea what 2020 was going to be like. And it was focusing on that disciples' path of prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness, of how we live out our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, those intentional acts of faith that can help maintain this bucket and keep the oil there for us so that we can, as we dip our torches, and we have the kind of oil in those torches to burn brightly, to help others see the love and the hope of Jesus Christ in us and in the world, that we become part of the light bearers. What's that great old song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning," the old camp song? Maybe some of you know that. I know the first verse of a lot of camp songs, but like Christmas carols, after verse one, I'm not really sure. But in that camp song, it's, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day." The chorus is, "Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King." And then the other verses are this: "Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving." And as I read those words this week, especially after Tuesday, I was struck by the power of the reminder of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of living that disciples' path, that becomes a way that we can individually, or we as a church, can keep oil in our lamps. We can keep grounding ourselves in that strong rock, that sure foundation, who is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, no matter who is elected president, no matter whether we are in pandemic or not in a pandemic, no matter how the economy's going, no matter what's happening in our community and in our schools in terms of how people are reacting to COVID, He remains our foundation. He remains the ground of our hope and our being. And so part of living that and believing that and trusting in that is by committing to the disciples' path. It's to pray, it's to worship, it's to engage in scripture reading. Is to allow ourselves to be in the midst of God's word, either as we do so individually or corporately as we worship in person or online, and to be reminded that God is God. We are not God, but God is God. The power of presence in our disciples' path is the power of being in connection with each other, whether that's virtually, as we've been doing so much this year, or it's those opportunities we have in person. Is to recognize that power that Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, that I am with them. It's a reminder that we are not alone in this season. Presence is also, I think, a call to us to be able to be in the moment and to look for God and God's presence and God's grace in the moment. The power of gifts. We serve a generous God, an abundant God who provides, a God who continues to provide in any season, in any circumstance. And so part of keeping that oil in our lamp is in our giving, is those opportunities that we have to be generous with our time, our talent, or our treasure. It's the ways in which we give, not to curry God's favor, but we give out of a witness. We're shining our lamp, as it were, in our generosity to help those who are in need around us. And the power of service. You heard Larry Heiss offer the message about how we are tweaking this year's Christmas food basket program. And it's a necessary tweak, but it's part of how we will serve. And I think about how service and serving is so core to the DNA of our church. Neighborhood House, Baldwin Center, CAS, supporting scholarships in Liberia, the Assistance League, all the ways in which members of our church volunteering in the schools when the schools are open are giving of their time and their presence to make a difference. They are serving, and as they serve out and serve the love of Jesus Christ, show that to those around them, they are filling that bucket with oil. They're not allowing it to run dry. Those acts benefit those around us. They transform lives, but they also encourage our own faith. And then the disciples' path of witness, of what it means as we tell our Jesus story, as we tell how Jesus' story is a part of our story. We do that individually as we talk about our own journey of faith. What is the hope that we have in Jesus? How has Jesus carried us through this season so far? There are those around you, friends and neighbors and family, who may be asking you about that at Thanksgiving. And you have a story to tell, my friends. You have a story of the way that Jesus has impacted your life. And how Jesus has been that source of encouragement to you in the midst of the storm. But in 2020, witness also has taken on the greater witness of the community, the witness of equality and justice. Church members who marched in the summer, marching for equality and justice. The witness of the church to be where the need is, to be where the hurt is, because Jesus is already there waiting for us to catch up, waiting for us to be there. So witness is both individual, but it's also corporate. It's also a witness towards that greater community that we would hopefully live out a better way, as Paul would say, the way of love, of grace, and of peace. And so I think about this story as it impacts me, this parable, and I think about where we are in this journey as we continue to move forward as Christians and as a church in this last couple months of 2020. And I'm grateful that we don't have to let these go empty, that we have the means through prayer and presence, through gifts, through service and witness, to be intentional in our faith, to continue to be those who could dip their torches in the oil and light those torches and offer light to those around us who maybe are struggling in the darkness of hate, of despair, of frustration, of just anxiety. And as we light those torches, as we bear that light, we have an opportunity to be a sign of good to those who are struggling, to those who feel like the darkness is the only space they can be right now. You, as you live out your faith, as you share that love of Jesus, you have the opportunity to be a sign of another way. You become an opportunity, an invitation to those who are really hurting right now to say there is hope, that there is a future. You become a sign to them that God is still at work, that God is present, and that God loves them as much as God loves you and me. And that's profound at this time. We are bearers of that light. Our buckets are not empty. We have this good news. Christ promises to be with us and is with us. And now it's our opportunity to be light bearers, to invite others to the party and to the banquet. Because in the banquet of Jesus, there is room for everyone who wishes to come. This orients us in terms of who we are. This path can guide us and remind us of who God has called us to be. And it's who we are becoming. It's who we've been becoming as a church. But it's who we are becoming as we live out this path. As we pray, as we worship, as we care for those around us, as we give, as we serve, and as we tell the story of Jesus, we offer good news. We can be the sign that God is still at work even now. So may we be so. May our lamps be full of oil so that we would shine brightly now and all the days to come. Amen. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and holy God, move among us. And Lord, encourage us as we seek oil for our lamps. Encourage us to see you, to look for you. And Lord, help us to be signs of your grace and your peace in the world around us. Help us to live your love.
Help us to be your people. In your holy name we pray. Amen.